QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. MHz offset, 600 kilohertz plus, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, hearing none. A couple announcements here. First off, this upcoming Saturday is the club meeting for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club at the fire station, unless it would be canceled due to weather conditions. We're not sure what's going to happen with weather, but kind of keep your ears open for that. And the following day, on the Sunday, we have another test session at the same fire station at 1 o'clock, and that also will be with weather conditions permitting. So, alrighty. This evening we're going to discuss emergency procedures and conditions that we've come across here over the last 6 months, 8 months, year, whatever. That a lot of you out there participated and helped others out there. We've got some pretty nasty weather out there, so. We're going to run that one around. Anyway, just real quick there is, Mike, are you out there? WB6CLZ.
Roger that, Tom. We are here and standing by. This is WB6CLZ.
Alrighty. Well, I'll check in. How's that? Alrighty. Well, let's go through the check-in list here and see who's there and who's not. I know we have a couple people on Echolink. And I do believe we will, we'll see. You know what, Rod, we'll get to you when we get down there, down the list a little bit there if you're still out there. So, WB6CIN, Cindy, are you out there?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy, glad to have you out there this evening. And how about KA6CIA, George in Lucerne Valley?
Good evening, Tom, and the group K6CIA.
All right, George, glad to have you with us this evening. Here's two that may be on Echolink. That's KE6RJ and KE6QI. Harry and Nancy, are you out there on Echolink? I'll stand by for a little bit.
WB6MRK, Manteca, on Echolink.
All right, Mark, good time to get in there. Fantastic. Glad to have you with us this evening, Mark, and hope the weather's been nicer up there than here. So, all righty, moving ahead, we have KJ6FEX, Alan in Corona. Are you out there? And nothing heard. AF6ZJ, Guy in Rosamond.
Yo, Big T, what up? All right, Tom, President accounted for.
All right, Guy. Yeah, I was out there, but I had a mouthful of food, so, and I thank Jim for kind of clarifying that issue. We're going to check in KJ6. JKZ Leanne, is she out there, Guy?
Yeah, you can check her in. She's in the kitchen right now.
All righty, Roger that. How about KI6SKN, Chris, on multi? And nothing heard. How about KJ68ZS, Mike, and Grays Peak?
Good evening, Evening, Tom. Nanette, this is KJ6HCS.
Hey, Mike. Glad to have you out there. And how about KJ6FIL? Mike out there in Redlands.
Hey, good morning, everybody. KJ6FIL.
All right, Mike. Glad to have you with us also. And morning. Let's see. You must be another the other side of the world here. how about KG6LEF? John, I know you've had been out and under the weather there. Are you out there in San Bernardino? Marty, nothing heard. How about KJ6KDL, Jim in Sugarloaf?
KJ6KDL and KDK listening.
Alrighty, I got you both checked in here, and then next on the list was W6MRK. But we got him. He's already checked in there in Echolink in Antigua. How about KJ6DBQ? Peggy.
Good evening, Tom and the group. This is KJ6DBQ.
All right, Peggy, glad to have you out there. And W6GZI. Frank, are you out there? And nothing heard. KI6IQA Kelly, over in Shea.
Good evening to all. KI6IQA.
Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate you being out there this evening. How about K6GBL, Ron, in Green Valley? And nothing heard. AD6PL, Harold, in Riverside.
Thanks, AD6PL.
All right, Harold, glad to have you out there. And KJ6RAY, Ray, are you out there with us this evening? And nothing heard. This is KF6Q on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater with Tech Tuesday. How about W6AWL, Art, be out there. Hey, might be out there at the barbecue. And W6JLM and W6KMM, believe you're not local right now. We'll leave a little break if you're out there. Nothing heard. They're pretty far away there. KI6OHN, John, are you out there? And nothing heard from John. How about KI6OHI Yomar? And I can hear KI6MAM Bill Landers. And heard. How about W6KBC Gary? You out there this evening? And nothing heard. KD6LAN, Bill, Boulder Bay.
Yeah, this KD6LAN, Boulder Bay, Billy. Trying out my new automatic headset, too, by the way. Glad to be here, KD6LAN.
Yeah, Roger, that is that little Vox thing that you had up there on the shelf?
Yeah. Finally got it out and trying to see if it works.
All right. Seems to be working pretty good there. So, let's see. K6LCS, Clint, are you out there this evening? And nothing heard. W6PBZ, Ray. And nothing heard. How about KJ6BCK Adam in Garden Grove? and I can hear. AE6CKV, Victor, Santa Fe Springs. Santa Fe Springs. Blah, blah, blah. And I've been heard, KE6VHM Frank. I believe that's Irwin Lake. And I've been heard, KA6ROD Rod. I heard you on Echo Lake. Are you still out there? Give you a little space there. Ready, don't hear him out there now. How about KJ6DBS, Leon, Arrow Bearer? And nothing there. How about KB6LTY, Christy, Apple Valley? And nothing heard. AE6TV, Hans, are you out there?
Grand Terrace.
Marty, glad to have you out there. How about NQ7RD, Rick in Corona? And nothing heard. How about KJ6E, Echo, United Zebra, John in Corona? Nothing heard there. KE6VHM, Frank. One more time there in Irwin Lake. Alrighty, nothing heard. How about WB6WCO, Ted? And nothing heard there. How about KJ6LJF in Arrowhead? All right, Bill, glad to have you out there. Fantastic. How about KJ6GGQ, George, Lake Arrowhead? And nothing heard. KJ6BNW, are you out there? And nothing heard. And that pretty much concludes our list here. Is there anybody else out there or guests like to check in this evening? Please come back.
Hey, Tom, W6AWL.
Hey, there you are, Art. Called you earlier there. Figured you were out by the barbecue or something there. Glad to have you with us. Anybody else out there? Please come back.
Papa Mike.
Alrighty, you want to come back with a full call there? Didn't get it all.
This is Kilo 6, Papa Mike, Proud Mary in Baldwin Park.
Alright, Kilo 6, Papa Mike in Baldwin Park there. Anybody else? Please come back. Alrighty, nothing heard. Well, does anybody else out there want to check in? Please come back in there anytime. Alrighty, well, Mike, you want to give us our DX report? What's been happening out there? Let's see what's going on out there.
Things have been kind of sporadic, kind of unusual. We have really good sunspot counts. Today it was only down to 60, but yesterday 103. I think it was 90 the prior day to that. So our sunspot counts are really getting up there, a little bit higher than what we've had in the past. So we're hoping for some good DX. We had some coronal mass ejections, a solar flare that kind of goofed things up last week. So it kind of absorbed most of the stuff that we were putting out. Didn't do us any good. But while I was playing around, I worked Korean Station, HL2DC, on 20 meters CW. We worked Chile, a station in Chile's, Charlie Echo 2 Whiskey Zulu on 12 meter sideband. So the band's been up and down, but it looks like things are getting better, and hopefully the sun will calm down a little bit and give us a lot of sunspots and not too many disturbances. So anyway, we're keeping our fingers crossed and hoping things keep continuing in the right direction. This is WB6CLZ with the Tech Tuesday Group.
All right, Mike, that's fantastic. Yeah, there's always something going on there, but sometimes more and sometimes less. Well, anyway, this evening, with all the nice weather we've been having and all the unnice weather we've been having, thought we'd dedicate this evening of Tech Tuesday to just kind of going over how well it's been working with a lot of you hams out there to coordinate and actually back each other up with a little redundancy to help guide people on their way, and that would include myself, actually. Mike, do you recall, and I'm going to say this is back last summer, and this is not intended for back padding or anything like that, but we just want to show everybody out there who's listening in exactly what can happen. I think there was some pretty decent weather, and it wasn't getting too cold at night, but late on a Sunday afternoon, I think you picked up the call. There was a couple gentlemen stuck way out beyond the Rose Mine out on the road to Pioneer Town. And at first they just wanted a little wait because their cell phone didn't work. Kind of refresh my memory on that.
Well, as I remember, I have to refresh my own memory on that. Yeah, as I remember, they were high-ended or they were in their Jeep and just couldn't move, couldn't do anything. As I recall, I think either you or Kelly took it from there. And I think the both of you headed out that way and got the guys unstuck. And you were out there, and so you can give us the gory details. But, yeah, that's, I think that was just my part in it. I took the initial call, and then you guys were on frequency pretty quickly after that and headed that away.
Okay, well, before we jump to the end of the book, let's finish the first chapter here. Now, when you first got when you first got in there, you were simply doing a phone patch or patching a message to somebody, and that was the beginning of it. Was that correct?
Told you I needed to refresh my memory. Yeah, as I recall, the gentleman, I believe it was his mother, he was very concerned that he had told his mother he would be back in several hours, and that time had run out. So gave me her number. We basically gave her a call and let her know that he was okay. He was just going to be running a little late, and that's how the call initially started.
Hey, Roger that. Well, I guess we got a couple of things here just to, I guess, as an example. Now, number one, they did have a cell phone, and unfortunately, though, it didn't work out there. And that's not uncommon, especially when you get off-road. You're going to find a lot of spaces out there, places and spaces that you're not going to get good cell phone coverage. Some services are better than others, but it's just not going to be reliable. Now, the second good thing here, evidently, either one or both of the two that were stuck out there had a ham license, had a tech license, and had a radio, and had some common sense to have it programmed so they could get on the Big Mirror Amateur Radio Club repeater and ask for help. So I know we didn't have adverse weather at that time. Still, though, it's not fun to spend the night in a vehicle out in the middle of nowhere, even if it isn't cold. Anyway, let me reset. And I do believe at that point, got a phone call from another gentleman out there who was willing to respond and help them out. Little point here about getting stuck off-road. Automobile Club does not respond. For all those out there that don't know that, now you do. Number two, unless you have somebody who's going to get you out, you're pretty much on your own out there. So was one gentleman gave me a phone call, and over the radio also, KI6IQA. This is something not too uncommon with you, but what happened after that? Tell you out there.
I was following right along, Tom, right until about a minute ago. I got company, so I missed the last little tiny bit of that. Can you bring me up to speed, or should I just back out? KI6IQA.
Well, not a problem, Kelly. If you got company, that's perfectly fine. Just to pretty much summarize that, Kelly and I assisted him. We went out there, got these poor souls out of their little hole they got into, and we're on our way. The good part about all that is, number one, they were able to reach us on ham radio, and number two, of course, there's always quite a few people out there that are willing to help. And the weather was not bad. Had the weather been bad, it could have been life or death. So, anyway, Kelly, go ahead. If you have company, appreciate that. Or listen in, or whatever else you can do out there. Let me reset. And then I'm going to throw this over to FIL, KJ6FIL, first, and with KJ6ACS in just a moment about some other conditions. But let's throw it over to ACS first. Mike, KJ6ACS. Let's see, field day this last year. All of us ham people are over there at our field day exercises and just having a whole lot of fun. Unfortunately, you weren't able to make it over there, but one thing you were doing is monitoring the frequencies. And you had a basically assisted a guy with, what, a hit and run on an off-road motorcycle? You want to kind of refresh us on that? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that was a while back. Yeah, the guy got clipped by a Jeep, and he was riding his bike, threw him into a ravine, busted up his shoulder. He had zero cell phone service, but at least he had his handy talkie with him, made contact, and was able to direct the search and rescue group. And he was down out of, what do you call it, Mesquite Flats or something like that, Manzanita Flats, way down there at the bottom off of 1N09 or something like that. Or I got it written down somewhere. He caught me a little off guard there. But, yeah, he was... You know, he got busted up a little bit. And, you know, finally, eventually, they found him, but they sent out an airship along with ground troops and got a hold of the guy. He survived, that's as far as I know. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, that was friend. You had just recently got your license, within a month or so prior?
Yeah, I don't even think I had my call sign memorized yet. That sort of threw me off guard. So that was a lot of fun. That's what ham radio is all about.
Well, who could ever forget who is who? Sorry. Well, that's fantastic, and it was kind of a good test of your abilities there, and actually pretty new to the whole thing. Of course, Your father was in ham radio, I guess, and still has you have some of his old equipment kicking around and whatnot. So ham radio wasn't totally new to you, and really hope you're working on that general. Mike, I'd like to see you get a general. But anyway, that was pretty good. Good example. Let me reset real quick. You know, and here's it's always good if you belong to a group. We have a CERT group up here. We have ECF, Division of Communicators for the San Bernardino County Fire Department. And there's others that are off the mountain, too, that are involved with ham radio. But you don't have to belong to one of those to just be a human being, a ham with some responsibility to grab the ball and run with it out there, as like Mike did, and actually CLZ did also, just answering the call out there. So very easy to ignore some of these calls, and very great when they don't get ignored. Somebody helps them. Reset one more time. All righty, KJ6FIL, in assistance with John, which is not out there this evening, and HCF. The two of you, through the use of your scanner, were helping, I'm going to say, some lost souls in that rainstorm. How long ago was that? And basically, what was going on? I think it was snowing up here and raining elsewhere and snowing in the pass. And what a mess. I'm going to give it to FIL. Can you kind of refresh our memory on that one?
No, okay. The rainstorm, the snowstorm. The December storms. Yeah, I can remember that one. I can also remember the one with the most motorcyclists down up there in Manzanita Flats. Up there, me and Mike kind of took that one over and got them in there. I know the area pretty well because I used to shoot up there quite a bit. But the one in December when we had the big storms and everything, we had a bunch of Gordos, people coming through the pass and coming down from Big Bear, and we was giving them all everything they needed to know to be able to try to make it in and out. And I think, as far as I remember, I think one of Gordo's people was coming from Florida that night. So, we definitely kind of done a nice thing on that one. And me and Mike both received a QSL card from Gordo, which was really nice. And it never hurts to listen to the scanner and be able to, you know, tell everybody what's going on, when and where and how. It really works out great. Glad to be part of it. Back to you, Tom. KJ6FIL.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I didn't even know you were involved with that motorcycle too. But sorry about that. I was one of the people out there doing contacts over there at Field Day. KF6Q here for ID on the Tech Tuesday net, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. You know, and that's where. You know, there's always something happening on a repeater, on a scanner, and we don't want to simply parrot all that over to the repeater, but there are times when some of those instances or things that are happening out there, weather-wise or otherwise, are of great interest, and of course, calling somebody else and letting them know about that, not broadcasting, but making that two-way call. Very legal, very effective, and also very helpful, too. Let me reset here real quick. I know here recently, appreciate all the help I had from all you out there last Friday. Not very happy out there. I'm going to tell you, this is where a lot of people don't realize this, and I've been around the mountains in the snow for years and years and years. It just seems like one thing goes wrong and then everything goes wrong. And good weather can turn to bad almost instantly, as we saw this last Friday. Typically, down the hill, the storms move in off the coast. It'll hit there and maybe an hour later before it gets up here. Mike, up there at Grays Peak, do you remember ballpark what time of day it started snowing up there?
Yeah, I got that logged down, and let's see, Friday, it started to snow Friday right around 1400 was a snow flurry started, and Saturday right about the same time. It was just a nasty weekend. Once it started, it didn't let up. We had about 4 inches total on Friday evening. Then I had 2 feet, total by midnight, so it was a mess Saturday night. So yeah, I'm glad you made it up okay. And talk about things going south when they go south. You're a prime example of that one. All right, back to you, Tom. Glad you made it back okay.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, typically, and I didn't have the radio on. I should have. I usually monitor all the time, just loading up some stuff down there Friday, 2 o'clock. 1,400 hours, It didn't start to even rain. In fact, it didn't even look that bad until about 3, a little bit after 3. And then it just started to sprinkle. Of course, then turned on the radio, started to get everything together to get going immediately. In that flurry, forgot my jacket, that which is really bad in snowy weather. The reason being, of course, down there, it was warm. It wasn't even close to being cold. So, yeah, that was not a good thing. And do appreciate Ray, who came along later that evening with a spare jacket. Amazing. Let me reset. And actually, as I left, the Inland Empire headed up. And it basically is about an hour and a half drive up here. A little bit more if you're towing something. Was in conversation with NY6Q, who makes that trip all the time. Said there was a little bit of snow on 38. Still very drivable. But how things can go south so fast. After fighting some of the traffic through Riverside and actually getting up there, by the time I got to Angeles Oaks, Caltrans was just showing up with their big sign. Reset. And it wasn't very long before we all had to pull over, regardless of the chain restrictions, just to keep from sliding off the road. And another thing here, too, Mike, CLZ, I'm going to go back to you real quick. You're up and about. Now, you have four-wheel drive. A lot of people have four-wheel drive. I do not in my truck. Do you still carry chains with you, or do you just or do you rely on the four-wheel drive?
I only had to chain that thing up once so far. But, yeah, I generally, especially in the winter, I carry chains. And, you know, up until about the middle of June, we carry chains.
Yeah, roger that. And somebody said out there they have actually an R3 restriction a short time after Saturday. I'm not sure if that was true or not. And I am a firm believer in regular chains, firm chains, not cable chains. Cable chains, that after what I went through Friday, never again. I'm sorry. Ain't going to happen. So, KD6LAN, are you still out there?
I was just getting ready to break in and give you a little bit of wisdom.
Stand up taller. Get that antenna straight up. You're starting to drift out of there. Well, yeah, my good buddy Bill there came to my rescue. Did talk to him over the phone and then also over the radio. Very good to have him come out and bring me some chains. But, Bill, that was just the beginning. That turned into being, once we got on the road, we had a lot of other episodes there. We'll get to that in just a second. Let me reset. Like to point out one thing. A couple cars were also in the same predicament. There was one directly in front of me and the same turnout. Four people in the vehicle also had cable chains, also lost them. They were stuck. They were ready to abandon their vehicle and were just looking for some way or person to get them out of there. Very interesting how the wind blowing and the temperature dropping and the snow falling, all of a sudden you don't feel very safe. In fact, I know people have frozen to death up here from that. So, Bill, what else fun and games did we, well, actually you ran into that evening? Come back.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm hoping I'm coming through. I'm trying this thing again. FYI, a lot of people don't realize this, but in the San Bernardino Mountains and the Angeles Crest Mountains, or whatever they're called, even with four-wheel drive, you are required to carry chains during the winter months, so... FYI, guys, if you think you have four-wheel drive, or if you have four-wheel drive, you think you don't have to carry chains, you're wrong. You do have to carry chains. Let me reset. Okay, yeah, a couple of the other things that we saw, besides that great big white whale
sitting in the middle of the road, tour bus type thing, that figured that he didn't need Jane's because he had so many wheels. There were also some vehicles over the side that were trying to make it without chains and lost control. And there was one vehicle that luckily hit a tree after they went over the side. That tree wasn't there. They'd have been a couple of hundred feet more down the hill.
Yeah, roger that. And Bill, just a real quick thing there. I mean, I was focusing on two things, basically keeping the truck going straight, and number two, keeping the trailer behind me going straight. And I think that's one reason I didn't even see those two gentlemen that you picked up. Now, they were walking. They had their car gone over, but they had climbed out up to the road and were walking. Is that correct?
Well, actually, what it was, the vehicle had gone over the side with them in it, and luckily, I don't know why I saw them, but I just did, and I had actually gone by the site where they went over the side and caught something out of the side of my eye, or side of my head, or off my right ear, whatever you want to call it, and I actually stopped and backed up. Just to see if I had seen something at all. And there they were, climbing up over the side.
Yeah, roger that. Not that I have any room to talk here. How were they dressed? I mean, they looked like they had heavy jackets on and ready to go and hike it all the way in, or what was their appearance there?
Well, they were what we call classic knuckle draggers or snowboarders, and they were dressed appropriately, but even though they were dressed for action, so to speak, they would not have made it through the night, in my opinion anyway. They were already shivering. Now, whether they were shivering because of their close call or because of the weather, I don't know, but they were very, very, very grateful that they were able to walk away from the vehicle, number one, but that somebody had stopped for them, number two.
Yeah, roger that. And, of course, I had pulled over to wait for you and kind of make sure that we were still going to caravan. That was, of course, there were quite a few other vehicles coming in after that. Which actually is a good thing. With that many vehicles, there's a lot of traffic. I know in the past, and I'm going way back in the past, and I'm sure there's been a lot in between, that people have been stranded. They have either did not have a jacket on, or were not dressed because they weren't really going to get out. They were planning on just driving through. And that was that. And then something breaks down or something happens. And, of course, with those conditions, they usually end up freezing to death. And that's happened quite a few times. We reset. And even with all that was going on, I had completely forgotten I do carry an emergency jacket behind the seat, behind the back seat, and things like that for that reason. My wife, KJ6BCL. Generally in the winter months, has a blanket and an extra coat and gloves for that same purpose. And it doesn't hurt because, you know what, you think you're not going to break down. And you think, no, I'm just going to go over there and, you know what, it's not a problem. And then you do break down. And if somebody isn't there and you're not prepared, you're going to run the risk of being a fatality. You're going to die. You know, you cannot play around with these temperatures. Anybody out there know what the temperature, what was it, just the other night, below 1 degree, it was like minus something? Please come back. KF6Q.
comment.
Yeah, go ahead, comment.
Good evening to all. It's KI6IQA. What Tom's trying to say is if you take a spare with you, you won't get a flat. No pun intended, no elbow to the ribs intended, just, boy, when I leave, if there's snow on the ground, if it's cold and I leave in the autopiller to go either play or play rescue, I put every jacket I own in the truck. I put road flares, candy, food. Nuts is a real good thing. Always have a big bag of pistachios because the half-life, shelf life is huge. Blankets, there's always several bottles of water rolling around on the floor behind the seats. Yada, yada, yada. I mean, if you leave home without a spare, you won't have a flat. And learn it, live it, use it, embrace it. KI6IQA.
Appreciate that, Kelly. Yeah, that's great words of wisdom there. Granola bars, something that's chips, whatever, something that doesn't spoil, lasts forever. Always good to have something as besides water, which you cannot live without. Also good to have something to snack on if you're stranded. Generally used to keep an old stale bag of chips. And somebody asked me once, well, what do you want those for? Those must taste terrible. I said, not if you're starving. They taste great. And that's just it. You know, you got to be ready if you're out there in a Jeep or a vehicle or a car or anything. Be prepared. It all happens in a flash. And it's amazing, even up here in the mountains, if you're out at sea, yeah, a storm can come up really quick. It can do the same thing up here. Let me reset. If you're into off-roading or dirt bike riding or whatever like that, let's say if you're out in the snow, off-roading out there, be careful because you've got to be prepared that you can get stuck, not that you will. You have to be aware of the weather. I know there were some people out there probably had a great time over there in Holcomb Valley this last weekend. If you know of a weather condition coming in, let them know, just so they know. You know, then let them make the decision. And if you're out there experimenting with the road, not going to mention anybody who's trying to shortcut from Apple Valley, be careful because if you get stuck and it's daylight disappears, you're in a world of hurt. One more reset. And in a snowstorm like that, here's what's amazing. Besides the snow falling and it being just terribly miserable weather, everything is white. Every one of your landmarks that you're used to seeing has now changed. It all looks different, and if it's getting dark, it looks terribly different because, it's not hard to be totally turned around, and it happens all the time. So, anyway, anybody else out there like to comment on that, please just come on in. KF6Q.
Make a quick comment, Tom, WB6CLZ.
Somebody underneath you, you want to let them go first?
No, sorry if I doubled with somebody, it's WB6CLZ.
Now, was there a station in there? Please go ahead.
KB6LTY, I just had a short thing to pass along. It's kind of an interesting story.
Oh, that's what tonight's all about. Please go ahead.
All right, very good. This is Christine Apple Valley. This happened months ago, and was sort of an interesting thing that unfolded over the radio. It's on an HF net. And it was in the daytime, and the net was occurring. They were going through check-ins.
Yeah, Christy, I think you're having some trouble holding the repeater. You wanted to try that again?
Rolling out there. And over.
Yeah, Christy, you want to try that again? I think you're having some trouble holding the repeater. Yeah, Christy, maybe a little bit later. Yeah, barely understandable out there. Mike, you want to go ahead? WB6CLZ, KF6Q.
Got a bunch of folks on the net that were familiar with who to call, who to contact, and they just thought it was interesting how it unfolded. They just stopped and started capturing the hams who knew who to call in the area, and they started making the phone calls.
Okay, roger that. I'm sorry, I think I stepped on part of that, but were they coming to the rescue of somebody out there?
Yeah, that's affirmative. They started making the contacts nearby sheriff. I think they knew. They started finding out who the boundary, was as far as who would be overseeing that. So they started getting search and rescue mobilized. I never did find out what was the outcome, but I mean they knew exactly what. Had a sort of a sense that something was wrong, and he made the guy, well, what's going on out there? And so it turned out that he really did need some help after all. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Back to you, Tom. Can you be still anyway?
Okay, roger that. And that's on an HF net, which is pretty neat. I know there's not a lot of us out there that have HF mobiles. That's probably like the ultimate. You get one of those screwdriver antennas or something like that, and it's amazing what range you now have. Go ahead, Mike, WB6CLZ.
Okay, 6Q with the Tech Tuesday group. This is WB6CLZ. Well, just after listening to these conversations, even Highway 38 can any instant you can become in a survival situation. And I find it very interesting. I went through a survival school before I went to Vietnam with the SEALs. And very interesting. There's lots of books out. I'm looking right now at the U.S. Army Survival Handbook. It's a reprint, of course. But the Air Force has a reprint of their survival handbook. I think Navy SEALs have a reprint of their survival handbook. When you're sitting on the, excuse my expression, the crapper, it's good reading. I mean, it's something that hopefully you'll never need. But, I go through it all the time and kind of look at this and that. Hot Rod Magazine gets old after a while. Anyway, but a good survival manual, even the libraries have, check one out or, get one any way you can. It's all got a lot of good information about surviving if you are in that threat type of a situation.
Yeah, roger that. In some of those circumstances, the first thing would be stay warm and dry. Maybe not necessarily in that order, but, warm is important. Dry is important. Another thing we want to touch on before we close on that tonight is the repeater that we're using right here is, like anything else, it's very, very reliable, but it can fail if at some point in time. Very fortunately, it hasn't. It's been extremely reliable and extremely good range and coverage there. I think everybody should be real familiar with your radios on how to reverse the input and output using this repeater. Let me reset. Because in that, one of the people who checked in earlier, W6MRK, used to be able to do that. If the repeater went down or was shut down for some reason. Hey, we're all trying to talk on the input of the repeater, but it's not there. It just takes one individual and a couple for redundancy wouldn't be bad. That are actually on the reverse. They can hear the people that are trying to reach the repeater. They can talk back to them on the same frequency that they're normally listening at. So one or two people like that is pretty good to have out there or know how to do that. And because if you can recognize the confusion that's going on, real quick, you can coordinate that, possibly flip over to a predetermined simplex frequency or whatever's going to work. So very good point. Real quick, if Mark, if you're still out there, I'll leave you a little break. I don't hear him out there. Maybe he's walking Scotty out there. So, but anyway, yeah, learn how to flip your input and output. Usually done with one button. It'll toggle. Every time you press it, it'll flip back, and you pay attention to what you're transmitting on when you key up. You'll easily be able to see that. So that's also a good little survival thing. Know that the local simplex up here that we use is 146.5. That's good to know. And Mike, FIL, have you had any luck reaching up here with simplex, or you still got an issue down there? KJ6 FIL, KF6Q.
I can get Mike most of the time from my shop radio. I just added a piece of coax to my other one, and I'm having a hard time with that one going to 4646. But hopefully I'm going to get that taken care of here real soon. What was your local simplex up there that you guys usually use?
Well, there's one that I use, and you know, besides 4646, we use 46480. That's good. You know, of course, 485 is actually the true frequency we're supposed to be using. You know, but that's on the 15 KC notches or whatever on there. But that's one. But actually, 146.5 is also kind of an accepted, you know, when we have an emergency situation through the CERT and ECS, that they'll probably be using that if they need to. But that's just one of many. So, I just possibly is just a connector there, Mike. I'm sure you should be able to. I know you'll get it worked out. Back to you real quick.
Okay, yeah, I just got through changing a bunch of radio stuff around and everything, so I definitely got a little bit of work to do, and I will definitely figure it out some way, somehow, as soon as I get the time.
Okay, good luck on that. Yeah, I've noticed that quite a few times you can get just an issue with a connector, or maybe just 6 inches back from a piece that you've had forever, gets a little moisture in there and starts just creating havoc, stuff like that. Some people toss the whole piece of coax. Sometimes all you have to do is just trim back about a foot, put a new end on it. It's as good as new. So, and if you're fortunate enough out there to have an analyzer, you can actually run a test on it. But if you can't, you know, sometimes you just have to do with what you got. So. And that's perfectly fine, perfectly fine. And I appreciate everybody out there who participates when we have this bad weather. I know, Mike, you, FIL, and ACS. Let me reset here real quick. Yeah, KF6Q here in the group with Tech Tuesday, the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. That you don't have internet, but you do have a scanner. And a lot of times that scanner is probably giving you better information than anything that we can ever round up on some of the internet services. So it's a conglomerate of everybody's help. There is no such thing as too much redundancy. There might be somebody out there handling the situation. He might experience radio failure, antenna failure, possibly a lightning strike, hopefully not. Anything can happen, and it's just not just in the winter. We're in the summer, the lightning storms, a lot of stuff going on out there. So there's some safe antennas to use, still get out in the summer. We did some of our workshops on that. Anyway, anybody else out there with comments, please come back. KF6Q. Yeah, that was, you're barely making a repeater. You want to try that one more time? Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't copy that. Is anybody else out there copy that? Okay, roger that. Some kind of weird propagation going on out there sometimes, so. All right, well, we're going to kind of get close to closing things down here, but I thought we'd kind of share some circumstances there. Different things that can happen, how fast they can happen, how fast everything can go from great to really lousy. Mike, anything to add there, WB6CLZ, and closing?
I think we've covered it pretty well from this end. I always like to tell everybody, though, a little bit of Morse code never hurts either. You never know when you're going to be in a situation where you can flash lights or something and at least communicate via that way. You know, just the basics. Don't have to get speedy or anything, but it's always nice if you can do it. Good evening to everybody. This is WB6CLZ. L-A-N.
Hey, Mike. Appreciate that. Yeah, go ahead, Bill. KD6LAN, KF6Q.
Yeah, one of the things that came up the other night on our way back from Onyx, there was a gentleman out there that everything had kind of quieted down, if you want to call it that, actually called an emergency on the frequency. And as a matter of fact, he did it twice. And his emergency was calling in not necessarily a stranded vehicle, but a vehicle that had lost their chains and was stopped and needed a tow truck or whatever. My suggestion is that be careful when you call an emergency. If it is not an actual emergency, don't call an emergency. You know, request clearance for priority traffic or some such. But when you call an emergency on the radio, it really sets other wheels in motion. And then when it's not an actual emergency, it can actually be counterproductive, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, roger that. And I think actually this is what you just said. There's a difference between emergency traffic and priority traffic. Two different things. If you're a member out there of ECS or CERT or something like that, chances are you may have a vest. I know ECS, we have those great fluorescent green, or whatever color they are, yellow, whatever. And if you're not, you can pick those up. I know that Whitecap Construction Supplies has orange. There's a lot of places out there. They're not real expensive. And if you're gonna, it's a good idea if you're gonna be mobile out there a lot to have something like that with you. You suddenly become extremely visible, especially at night. And that's a good thing to have, you know, just so that you can be seen. A nice dark blue, dark navy blue jacket, maybe keeping you warm, but all of a sudden you look like part of the night. So it's always a good thing for that, something like that. In the mountains, do not set off flares to be seen. Road flares are one thing, but I don't even know if that's really acceptable. We had a big discussion about that at ECS, so. Anyway, anybody else out there with anything to add, please come back. KO6Q.
I'll go out on the lead and get my knuckles wrapped, if I may, KI6IQA.
Jump right out there, Kelly, go ahead. Not a problem.
I think I remember what Bill was talking about. It was somebody from Riverside, and a couple of different people here locally were giving information where cars were and a brief description of the car and an approximate mile marker and, you know, two front tires off the road, one or two rear tires on or just adjacent to the road, no occupants. And the gentleman, as far as I'm concerned, was, he thought he was helping, but in my assessment, he wasn't actually helping. He was trying to be out there and pound his chest and save the day and be a hero, but I think this was where Bill was going. He was kind of demanding of having a quiet frequency, and you know, if there's nobody in the car and the car is, you know, off the road, enough people can get around. To me, that's not. It needs attention. Let me reset. Dealt with, but it's not an emergency. They've abandoned their car. They've hopefully gotten a ride into town. And they're not there any longer. They're not at risk of freezing to death. And that, in my assessment, is not going to be an emergency where, you know, it could be a priority. But, yeah, I think I know what Bill was talking about. And my take on it was that the guy was, he wanted to beat his chest a little bit. And he was from Riverside. He didn't know the local streets and whatnot. And people here were trying to help. And he was kind of trying to bulldoze his way over it, and I didn't appreciate it. I try to leave a lot of space when there's a lot of traffic and snow conditions and stuff and let people who have or might have a real, true emergency or a priority have the frequency. KI6IQA.
I think that's well said, Kelly. Good definition and cause and effect of confusing emergency and priority. You know, and I know that if you're out there or you've passed a certain situation or incident, it's good to get a mile marker. I know myself that's important. That's good for a lot of the agencies to respond to. It's also a good idea if you're familiar with the road, different other parameters. You know, I'm at Glass Road and 38. Well, mile marker, I don't know what that is, but I think we all know where that is if we've traveled that highway or Barton Flats or South Fork or one of the passing lanes or even the, different turnouts or something like that. Not really great for the highway patrol or paramedics or something like that. But it's also good augmented information. Say like, where is mile marker 28? Well, I don't know. But if you're about 3 miles up from, say, towards the inbound at Big Bear from Southport, which it's probably not, but I'm just saying it's a good thing to do. So, anyway, any other comments out there, please come back before we close the net.
One last comment from LAN.
Go ahead, Bill. KD6LAN, KF6Q, and the group here at Tech Tuesday. Okay, Bill, we're not getting any audio. We'll try it again.
Come in from outlying areas to work during the days, there may be people that come up to work extra that don't know where some of these places are, and they rely on the mile marker, as well as the dispatchers. They don't know what we're talking about. They're clear down at Victorville, Apple Valley area, or San Bernardino in some cases. So they don't know what we're talking about if they're not familiar with the area. That's why they stress the importance of the mile markers. That's FYI, just in case anybody wants to know why they rely on the mile markers as being so important.
Yeah, Roger that. And Bill, if I'm not mistaken, I'm thinking that 38 starts somewhere down there, Ligonia, right around Redlands or whatever, and that is point zero, and every mile, you know, up towards here is one more mile. So actually, if you were at mile marker 28, that would actually be 28 miles from the beginning of 38 down there. I know that works for 38, so, you know, that is a good thing. You know, I know that's probably a good idea. They can tell how far it is, about where it is, but, yeah, I know that there's a lot of other people out there that appreciate the additional information of possibly where it's at. So, anyway, good point there. Glad you mentioned that. Any other comments, please come back. KF6Q.
KJ6KDL.
ADL, Jim, go ahead.
This may seem simple to some, but I'm just going to put this out there. I'm taking it, and people also geocache, so if somebody had a GPS, GPS coordinates might work just as well.
GPS is probably a good thing. I know that... you know, the only problem with GPS is it could be anywhere. It could be on the highway or off the highway. But if you do have a GPS, I guess, then that would zero you right in. You would know. So I guess you could program that into your GPS unit, and it would help get you from point A to point B. So that's a very good point there, Jim. More technology for the future. Go ahead. Back to you real quick.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that when we drove down Saturday morning, and the snow had actually covered almost all of the mile markers. There were only maybe half a dozen or so down the way that you could see, but we had our GPS going, and it was giving us GPS coordinates to the thousands of a point. So I assumed if we said we were on the road, somebody got a nearest match, they could find us if we gave those coordinates.
Point there too, and as GPSs and navigation systems in a lot of vehicles are getting to be pretty commonplace, so that's another type of or way to augment information of where something's at. So, very good point. We had skipped all the way over that one. So, alrighty, anybody else out there? Any more comments or thoughts on that?
Question, comment, thought.
Wow, you get all three. Go ahead.
excellent point, Jim. Jim, I think it is. KDL. Tom, I don't know if you know, but do ambulance, paramedic, fire trucks, and or CHP, or even for that matter, the deputy units, have a GPS, either a handheld unit that they carry with them or built into the car? That's a huge question, and I don't know if anybody has the answer, but KDL, good one. KI6IQA.
Well, you know what? I'm going to throw that over to Bill, LAN. Any of your buddies, do you know anything about that? Do they carry those now, or is that not a department issue yet?
I was worried you would ask. To the best of my knowledge, they are not department issue yet, except for search and rescue. Most of the fire apparatus, to the best of my knowledge, go off of the Thomas Guide coordinates, which the dispatch gives them. There are some of the SOs up here that I am familiar with that they do have GPS built into their iPads, iPods, whatever the stupid things are called, and they do use them on occasion. The problem with GPS is it's a good thing, number one, but the problem is that if the responding agency doesn't have something to display the coordinates, then they don't know up from down, left from right.
Yeah, roger that. And I'm not sure, with a heavy cloud cover, do they suffer the same problem that, you know, like satellite TV does? Or I don't know if they can punch through that or not. I know I was up in a canyon up here off-road, actually not too far off of 38, in the green spot area. And we got back in a canyon up in there, and his just did not work. It was never going to pick up enough satellites to get our location on us. But that's probably one of the rare instances of that. But anyway, yeah, I'm wondering how effective they are in the really adverse cloud cover. Does anybody know about that?
KJ6LJF. I'm part of the COP, Sheriff Department, Twin Peaks, and our units have a GPS, and you're correct, really, really steep terrain. They can't get to the satellite, but the cloud cover is not a problem. Any other questions, let me know.
Okay, roger that. Didn't quite catch the whole call. Is this, is your name John?
No, this is Bill, KJ6LJF, Lake Arrowhead.
Comment?
Yeah, go ahead, comment.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just checked in, right when you were talking about GPS and fire departments, sheriffs, this and that. This is KJ6ILX, by the way, and I work for Riverside County Fire Department, which is Cal Fire, used to be CDF, and we have GPS in all of our units. I don't know where you guys were going with that, but I just wanted to let you know. We do have GPS, a computer land navigation system that routes us in and lets us know in degrees, decimal degrees, where we're at all times.
Yeah, KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday in the group. I'm sorry, could you give me your full call again and your name? Glad you could join us in that, and that's great information.
Yep, this is KJ6ILX, and my name is Scott. I am in Norco, Riverside, California.
All right, KJ6ILX, Scott in Norco. Okay, copy that. Good deal. Appreciate that. Sounds like everything's moving towards the future there. Anybody else out there with any more information on that, please come back.
My apologies. I guess I had some wrong intel. I'm going to have to talk to some people. KD6LAN.
Well, Bill, that's okay. No, you said to the best of your knowledge. That really covered it right there. So, sorry. Okay, no comment from that. Anyway, anybody else out there? Any other comments on that before we close the net?
My final comment.
but it doesn't have to be your final comment. Just another one. Go ahead, Kelly.
Goodly done. Goodly done, sir. Good good topic, good involvement. Hats on the back. KF6Q, KI6IQA.
Appreciate that. Actually, it's a group effort, once again, of everybody out there, and a lot of information and a lot of participants. And if you get yourself stranded out in the middle of a snowstorm with the wind blowing and not being able to move, makes you think really, it makes you rethink stuff. You think like, okay, well, I'm never going to get in that situation. I'm prepared. And then it happens. So everybody, please be careful out there. Drive safe, of course, in these weather conditions. And rethink some of your stuff that, like Kelly, obviously, you're prepared when you go out. You're used to it. You do this a lot. But anybody out there listening, I had so many people even come up to me, well, where's Big Bear? I said, man, you're not even close yet. You've got another, it's the other side of the mountain. They have no clue where they're going or what they're doing. We need to help those people. We don't need to make fun of them. We need to help them every way we can because those are the people that may not survive. Any other comments? Please come back.
LAN with one last thought.
You can have more than one. Go ahead, Bill. Yeah, KD6LAN, KF6Q. Did you remember what that last thought was?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tom. I accidentally hit the button and it didn't go on Vox. Anyway, don't want to scare anybody. Don't want to dissuade anybody from helping people out. One last thought, though. If you do over to help somebody out and are in radio contact with somebody, anybody, tell them where you are. Tell them who you're picking up. Give a description over the radio. I'm sorry to say, but there are some people out there that will not only take advantage, but maybe have nefarious, that's a 50-cent word, sorry, Tom, thoughts going on. Just, watch your six, people. Cover your backs. I did it the other night with Tom, and just to cover my fanny, you never know who you're picking up, and if you let them know that you're passing on information, it might dissuade somebody from doing something that you don't want them to do. KD6LAN.
Yeah, roger that. I think there was a few of us out there aware of that, and another reason why. When you stopped, I found the closest turnout stopped. Wouldn't proceed. Any type of a caravan between two people is redundancy and backup. Redundancy is a good thing. Triple redundancy, quadruple redundancy does not hurt. And it's a good thing to have out there. And, Bill, you keep throwing out those 50-cent words, and you know I've only got a quarter. I cannot buy that. Okay. Anyway, anybody else out there, any other comments? Please come back, KF6Q.
And there you have it, fourfold redundancy.
All righty. Well, gentlemen, I'm sure glad I ate before I did the net. I'd be literally starving to death and cold. I'm up here in my radio room with no heat. My goodness, we've set a record almost, 8:20. And any last final comments? We'll be closing that here. Please come back. Last chance, KF6Q. All righty. Yeah, we'll keep the radio on anyway for a little bit. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net, closing the net at... Oh, let's see, 20 hours and 20 minutes. local time. Would like to thank gratefully everybody for listening in and participating. Hope you can join us again next week. We'll have another great topic. We're never sure what it's going to be till a few days prior, but we'll let you know. So, please assist everybody you can out there, and like Bill says, watch your six, but be out there and be a team. This is KF6Q, returning the repeater to normal use. We'll be clear. Standing by.